I'd like to say good evening to everyone. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, saying welcome to this nationwide gospel effort. We have a preacher from the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, in the person of Brother Charles Orr. Brother Orr is the minister of the West Orlando Church of Christ in Orlando, Florida. His topic tonight is, can any man forbid water for them to be baptized? Out of Acts chapter 10, and verse number 47. So it is my pleasure and it is my privilege to introduce to you Brother Charles Orr. Brother Charles Orr, tell us what we must do.
Good evening, brethren and friends. Our subject is taken from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to be reading the text and then make a few points from there for your consideration. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 1 beginning. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a curtain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Now this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Verse 47, our subject, can any man forbid water? Now, what we want you to see tonight, briefly here, is that when it comes to authority for the salvation from past sins, God only, i.e. Christ, has that authority. And that authority says water baptism. Many men today will tell you various ways to be saved from your past sin. They will tell you, number one, just have faith. They'll tell you, just receive Jesus into your heart and believe. They'll tell you, just call on the name of the Lord. Just believe and repent and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just believe and say the sinner's prayer. My dear friends, all of these teachings have their origin with men and not God. We must understand that salvation is not from men. Jonah learned this a long time ago in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Jonah 2 and verse 9, when he refused to obey God and God created a great fish to swallow him. And while down in those bars inside that that great fish's belly, the Bible says that Jonah came to his senses. Jonah says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. The scribes in Mark chapter 2 in verse number 7, they knew that salvation was only of God. For when Jesus healed the impotent man, they doubted within themselves and said, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? Jesus Christ, our Lord, has all authority in the matter of salvation. In fact, he had this power when he was in the earth. Look, friends, at Mark 2 and verse 9 and 10, the same opening where we are. Jesus said unto these scribes, whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, where? On earth, to forgive sins. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. Not only did Jesus have this power while he was on earth and authority, he has it now. In Matthew chapter 28, and the verses are 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. After our Lord's ascension, Daniel 7, 13 and 14 tells us that he was brought before the Ancient of Days in a cloud, and there was given unto him authority and power and dominion and a kingdom. And of course, we know that Jesus, now having that authority, sent back his spirit as he promised, and establish his word in this earth. By that word, his church was established. The Bible says, all authority in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18, has been given unto me. Jesus has authority today to remit sin, to forgive one of his or her past sins. That power or authority is his word. We see this in our text right here in verse number 22, as Peter comes to the house of Cornelius and Cornelius greets him. The Bible says, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of a good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Peter came to speak the words of the Lord unto Cornelius. Again, in verse number 44, Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words. What words? Words from the Lord. Words that Cornelius needed to hear in order for he and his house to believe and be saved. Of course, this is later confirmed in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts and verse number 14, as Peter rehearses what happened on that day. Bible says, in verse number 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? That authority is Jesus' word. It is God's word. It's the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so God only, i.e. Christ, has authority to remit past sins. Men do not have this authority. That word, that gospel, which Jesus had, was committed unto the apostles to teach us, so we would know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, 18, 19, 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and notice, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For if not, he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ committed this word to the apostles to teach us. That's why you see in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, they continue daily in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread. Peter was an apostle. The same Peter that's here in Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius, he was an apostle. And I think it's important tonight to see what Peter, the apostle, one of the apostles to whom the word of Christ, the gospel of Christ, was committed to teach to us. What did Peter teach relative to the forgiveness of sin? Well, in Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon preached on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, when those who heard that message, 17 nations from under heaven, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, when they heard Peter preach the gospel of Christ, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice now, for the remission of sin. Peter taught, an inspired apostle, taught the gospel of Christ. If one wanted his sins remitted, that individual had to, of necessity, repent and be baptized. What else did Peter preach relative to the forgiveness of sins? Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through verse number 22. 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 22. Peter said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The last figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You see, Peter teaches a consistent message. In Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. 1 Peter 3:18, baptism in water saves us. And then in Acts 10, our text, verses 47 through verse number 48, Peter here teaches the same thing. Bible says in verse number 47, can any man forbid water? Notice now, the question is asked, can any man forbid water? Can any man hold back water? Can any man refuse water. You see, the baptism that is required for the remission of sin is water baptism. When Peter taught in Acts 2 and verse number 38, repent and be baptized, they were to be baptized in water. When he taught in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, that baptism does now also save us. The example was Noah and his family, 8 souls saved by water. The last figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us. And here in our text, he teaches Cornelius and his family water baptism. Can any man forbid water? When one meets the requirements of God in order to have his sins remitted, he must of necessity be buried in water for the remission of his sins. And there are many today that will tell you that you don't have to be buried in water. But the Bible says to have your past sins remitted. An inspired apostle taught us that you must be baptized, buried in water for the remission of your sins. And of course, verse number 48 is the kicker in the text. The Bible says, and he commanded them to be baptized. What's the implication? In water. They had to be buried in water for the remission of sin. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I think that phrase is important too, because we've already established that authority in this area of salvation from past sins resides only with God, i.e. Jesus Christ. And so their baptism in water was by the authority of Jesus Christ. It was in the name of the Lord Jesus. And dear friends, if you are yet in your sins and you have never been baptized, for in water, buried, Romans 6, the verses of 2 through verse number 3, planted together in the likeness of his death, wherein also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We must be buried in water in order to have our sins remitted. But before that burial can take place, we need to hear words. We need to hear words from the Lord, from an inspired apostle, from those who have been called to teach and to preach his word, those words that can save our soul. For as the text tells us in verse number 6, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do, literally, what thou must do. And of course, we learn that Cornelius and his household, being commanded to be baptized, indeed, in Acts chapter 11, were. You must be baptized, buried in water, for the remission of your sin, and no man can forbid you water when you have heard the gospel of the Son of God. You have believed it with all of your heart, Acts 8, 36 and 37. You have made your mind up to turn and follow him, Acts 17, 30 and 31. Confessing his name before men with your mouth, Romans 10 and 10. You are allowed to be buried in water, Acts 2, 38, for the remission of your sins. May God ever bless you this evening to obey Christ and not men. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Psalms 119 and verse 8 and 9. God gave the word. Psalm 68 and verse number 11. And no man, Revelation 22, 17 and 18, can add to it or take away from it. May God ever bless us.